time I went there is because I was sick. See, the thing is, when we're sick, we've got to go to the great physician. But some of the sickness comes from what we've chosen to do. But we don't want to go to him to get told what we need to change. We don't want to go to the great physician that knows how to heal our circumstance and hurt to heal our mindset, because he's going to tell us truth. Can God lie? No. So we know he's going to tell us truth. And it hurts. But sometimes we're so distracted, we don't realize that he's going to get us in our distraction. I began a series called The Warning Signs. Flash Flood Warning. Remember that? Flash Flood Warning? Well, this is going to be the warning signs of this particular series. So if we're recording right now, I want to welcome the podcast listeners to the House of Manna podcast. This is the warning signs for the body of Christ. It is time for us to heed the signs that God has given us on our journey to where he has taken us. So I welcome you and I thank you for being on the podcast. Be prepared for what God is about to share, for it will change the life of the church and the direction of the church where he is taking the body of Christ. Listen to others and you will see that God is getting the people back in order. Amen. So what I want to share with you is a couple of things. How many of you have the driver's license right now? You have a driver's license. Raise your hand. Raise your hand. Raise your hand. Okay. So you've taken the test before, right? Did you study the book that they sent you, you know, that has, you know, you didn't study the book. You just knew, right? Because you just knew it all. See, I had a book. And I didn't like to read. So I would look at the pictures to see if I could have a better understanding. Well, thank God that God knew about Marty Perez and said, this boy not going to read. So I've got to put all the warning on the signs themselves so he has an understanding. How many of you understand the signs when you're driving? Some of you are like, I don't pay attention to them. Okay, look, I'm going to give you the exam right now. This is going to help some of you. It's a refresher course for a lot of you. I've seen the way y'all drive. What is a blue sign that has an H on it? Hospital. Some of y'all are like, an H? There's an H on it? Oh, what about a sign that has an airplane on it? Airport. Are you following me? Following me? They're pretty simple. I was like, I could pass this test. Nobody, I got this. I can pass this test. Well, how about this one? It is a black and yellow sign with an X on it and has RR. No, Roy Rogers Ranch. I had to take him back. I was sitting in the car riding. Well, we were in the van. We were riding with my aunt, my uncle, my dad, my mom. And then, so we're driving. We're coming up to a railroad crossing. And then my uncle says, Mia, it's Roy Rogers Ranch. And I'm like, where? Roy Rogers Ranch. You know, R.R. That's a railroad crossing. So reminded me of another story. Of another sign. It's an upside down triangle and it's red. Well, my dad was taking his test when he was driving as a teenager. My dad couldn't read real well. So he's getting ready to enter into the highway, and he sees the sign, and the instructor's next to him, and he goes, ah! The instructor says, whoa, what's that? He says, well, the sign said yell. So the instructor said, well, that's the first time, but if they didn't see you, they heard you. So you gave warning. So how many times have we misunderstood what a sign is and we just kind of make it our own? So, Lord Jesus, that I start wanting, Lord, that's my daddy. I said, Lord, that's not for real, right, Dad? Dad, that's not for you. Didn't really do it, Dad. He said, it took me a long time before I got my license. I said, why, Dad? He says, because when I was driving on the highway and I saw the sign that said 55 miles an hour, you know, the 55. He says, I thought it was a suggestion. I said, wait, suggestion? He says, that's the minimum. I said, Dad, it says maximum. What does that mean? I said, you can't go past that. But then why do we have the speedometer that goes 120? I mean, you've gotten speeding tickets before. Come on, raise your hand. Be honest, you're in church. Some of y'all that don't have a driver's license, raise your hand. All right, look it. It's not suggested. If you're going past it, slow down. Because then you won't get a ticket. And don't go start saying, well, my speedometer won't work. I didn't see the sign. Everybody else is going faster than me. Right? If they're going faster than the speed limit, then I must go faster than the speed limit. Right? Hello? See, what happens is when people are breaking the law, sometimes you want to follow suit just to stay in the pack. Well, it's the same thing with God. See, God has warning signs all over the Bible. Do we listen to them? Well, what about, have you seen this one? Park closes at dusk. What does that mean? When the sun goes down, it's when it closes, right? No, what it really means is get out of here when it gets dark. Park closes at dusk. I said, we really have to have a sign that says that? How many times have we put ourselves in a situation to know that something's about to close in the season, but we don't listen? We all stick around and get as much as we can while we're in it. We need to get out of it. We're just like the road signs. If we don't listen, we're going to come into a world of hurt. And I want you to turn with me to Mark 7:21, please. Mark 7:21. Verse 21 through 23. Ready? Mark 7. I'm going to read it out of the Good News Translation and then out of the American Standard Version. And when you're there, say amen. Mark 7, verse 21 through 23, out of the Good News Translation, reads in this wise. For from the inside, from your heart, come the evil ideas which lead you to do immoral things, to rob, kill, commit adultery, be greedy, and do all sorts of evil things, deceit, indecency, jealousy, slander, pride, and folly. All these evil things come from inside you and make you unclean. Now I'm going to read it out of the American Standard Version. Verse 21 says, for from within, out of the heart of men, proceed the evil thoughts, fornications, thefts, murders, adulteries, deeds of coveting and wickedness, as well as deceit, sensuality, envy, slander, pride, and foolishness. All these evil things proceed from within and defile the man. Lord, I thank you for the reading of your word. I thank you that it's true yesterday, today, and forever. I thank you, Lord, that you continue to show us in your manual of life, Lord, the book of life. I thank you, Lord, that you have given us instructions for the people of God to follow after and to be led by the Spirit of God, in which has given us the word of God. And I thank you, God, that we hear to it. We begin to put it to use in our life, and not just to read it to have understanding, but to read it, God, to live it. So we thank you for it now in Jesus' mighty name. And all of God's children said amen. Turn with me to Exodus 20. Exodus 20. And when you're there, say amen. Exodus 20. I have one amen. I got two amens, three amens. Amen. Exodus 20. I want you to start on verse Well, I'll tell you. Let's go to verse 1. Okay, now this is where he begins to give the Ten Commandments. Okay. Are you there at Exodus 20? Yeah. Verse 1. Then God spoke all these words, saying, I am the Lord your God who brought you out of the land of Egypt, out of the house of slavery. You shall have no other gods before me. You shall not make for yourselves an idol or any likeness of what is in heaven above or in the earth beneath or in the water underneath the earth. You shall not worship them or serve them, for I, the Lord your God, am a jealous God, visiting the iniquity of the fathers on the children on the third and fourth generations of those who hate me. But showing loving kindness to thousands, to those who love me and keep my commandments. That'll preach by itself. Verse 7 says, you shall not take the name of the Lord God in vain, for the Lord will not leave him unpunished who takes his name in vain. Remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy. Remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy. 6 days you shall labor and do all your work, but the seventh day is a Sabbath of the Lord your God, and in it you shall not do any work, you or your son or your daughters, your male or your female servant, or your cattle or your sojourner who stays with you. For in the 6 days the Lord made the heavens and the earth, the sea and all of it that's in it, and rested on the seventh day. There before the Lord blessed the Sabbath day and made it holy. Verse 12. Honor your father and your mother, that your days may be prolonged in the land which your Lord God gives you. I think as I read the word of God, I find it very interesting on how God puts his character in his writings. I want you to read with me again, please. Verse 12. Are you ready to read aloud? And then we're going to read verse 13 as well. You ready? Read. Honor your father and your mother. Verse 13. Look here. This is God writing by the Spirit of God. This is inspired word of God through the Holy Spirit. He says, honor your mother and your father so that you have long life in the land that I give you. And then he says, you should not murder. Are you seeing this? And I find it very interesting that he tells us, you have to honor your mother and your father so you have long life. So in other words, parents, don't kill your kids. Because the next verse it says, you shall not murder. Do y'all read the Bible like I read it? Because when I read something like that, I think, God, you knew we were about to take some of our kids out. You're like, you know what? You better honor me because I'm going to kill you. I brought you in. I'll take you out. God says, oh, no, you won't. Read the next verse. You should not kill. You should not murder. Say, no, we can't do nothing. Verse 14. You shall not commit adultery. You shall not steal. You shall not bear false witness against your neighbor. And then watch this. You shall not covet your neighbor's house. You should not covet your neighbor's wife. Or his male servant or his female servant. His ox or his donkey. Anything that belongs to your neighbor. I like it when he's writing this. He's like, you know what? Matter of fact, since I'm talking about your neighbor, your neighbor's wife is not your wife. Hello? Okay, maybe not your neighbor right next door to you, but the neighbor you know that's been about 5, 10, 15 miles away. Just so that you're not in the area where you used to be. So someone can find you. You know how most folks do. If they're Christians and they're in church, they find a little watering hole someplace far away from the people of God. Ain't nobody going to find me here. What? Who are you hiding from? God knows where you're at. And he'll make sure someone gets lost and finds that place. Oh, look at sister so-and-so here in this place. Think you can act a certain way someplace and God ain't going to find you. Come on. Watch this. This is good. This is a good word. This is good. Here's what I want to share with you right now. Verse 18. All the people perceived the thunder and the lightning flashes and the sound of the trumpet and the mountain smoking. And when the people saw it, they trembled and stood at a distance. You see that? The people got scared. They got scared of God. Watch where they put their faith. Verse 19. Then they said to Moses, speak to us yourself and we will listen. But let not God speak to us or we will die. Y'all want to read it again? Should I read it in Spanish? Good luck. Because I can. Pastor Raul ain't here, so we ain't doing it. But here's what happens. When God is getting ready to start laying down the law in your life, it's for your benefit, but we get so fearful of it, we don't want to listen to God. We rather listen to man. You understand? Or how about this one? We know what is right and what is wrong, but what we begin to do is to make our argument concerning what we're doing to become right. Have you ever argued with someone that is not going to sway their opinion anyway, even with truth? Yeah, there's a lot of them. But guess what? The mere fact that you're arguing, you're at fault too. You don't argue the word of God, and you don't argue whether or not they're doing right. What you're to do is live by example. Example. So that this way, we have a better understanding of what God wants for us to do. Because many times, people don't want to live by example. They want somebody else to live their way in righteousness. And my righteousness is a little bit different. Maybe a little skewed, but I'm under grace. What we call this is the yield. You better be careful because you're entering into an intersection in your walk with God, which is going to take you off course. This whole scripture right here in Exodus is based out of a stop sign. You see it? Don't do, don't do, don't do, don't do. So you know that God is telling us don't do certain things, but why do we still do it? Oh, we're human. What was the other one? We want what we want. I'm selfish. I want my G.I. Joe. And if I got to put it in my sock, I'll put it in my sock. I want what I want. I'm going to get it how I can get it. I'm going to do what I want to do. And somewhere down the line, if I get in trouble, I'm going to play mom and dad against the other. Verse 12, honor your father and your mother. Some of y'all children in here like, Pastor, that's enough about that scripture right there. My parents quoted to me all the time. God, stay focused. Got to stay focused. Turn with me to Galatians 5. Galatians 5. I ain't going to keep you too long. Galatians 5:19. When you're there, say amen. Now I said say amen. See, look. There's something inside of us that is itching to get out. And that is life and fire. And what God wants to do is to allow you to put a catalyst to make something combustible to put you on fire. Did I talk to you, Lionel, about what you were going to talk about in your Tithes and offering. Nothing. We didn't discuss. We didn't share no notes. No text. Okay. See, God wants to ignite us with his passion. He wants to ignite us with the fire of God to do the things that he's called us to do. But many times we don't pay attention to the signs. Galatians 5:19 through 21, Good News Translation reads this way. What human nature does is quite plain. It shows itself immoral, filthy, and indecent actions. In worship of idols and witchcraft, people become enemies and they fight. They become jealous, angry, and ambitious. They separate into parties and groups. They are envious, get drunk, have orgies, and do other things like these. I warn you now, as I have before, those who do these things will not possess the kingdom of God. I want to tell you that God is going to put a stop to the segregation of his bride. He's going to put an end to the division in the church. The only way that God can do something like that is by us renewing our mind, our heart, and putting on our new identity. You understand? The reason for it is because we're so comfortable with the things that God has done in the past that we don't allow him to do something new. If it's not how it used to be, then it's not God. That's not true. It has to change. Or we'll get so comfortable in it, we're not willing to be stretched. So you've seen how all of this is God saying, stop this, stop this, stop this. You can't, you can't. He says, stop killing, stop taking another's life, whether it be for real or in your mind. You know how many times, I'm going to kill you. You know how we do. We get mad. You know, the driver that cut you off. Because they didn't use the blinker. Then you get mad. How many of you respond that way? How many of you respond getting angry and mad? Be honest. Stand to your feet. The whole church. Lord, help them. All right. All right. Look at look. You, y'all get. No, no. Stand up. Stand up now. We stand before the counsel of the Lord right now. You getting mad at other drivers. Stand to your feet. You know who you is. You get mad. Listen here, listen here, listen here. You get mad because you don't control their driving. And because you don't control their driving, that's supposed to be like your driving, you standing up. Well, you just started driving. Lord, I don't think we have enough oil today to get y'all delivered. When you start getting angry at the other drivers, it's because you don't have control. Don't blame it on your circumstance. Don't blame it on it's hot. AC ain't working. Roll your windows down. But when you're not in control, your fruit is shown. Your anger and your outburst shows what's inside of you. How many of you want to get delivered of that? Yeah, I'm not even asking. I'm telling you, you're going to get delivered of that. Because you know that what happens when you're driving? Purposely. Purposely. Sister so-and-so cut you off. No, you haven't cut me off. But what happens is it begins to show you what is inside. And if you don't yield and you don't take caution, that thing begins to fester inside of you. And the next thing is not the driver, it's the cat, it's the dog, it's the weather. It is something else. It is breeding inside of you to make you respond in a negative way. How many of you do respond in a negative way when things don't go your way? It's a seed of deception that comes in because you're not in control. If you really want to be in control, yield to his very presence. Yield to him. And when you yield to him, and I don't mean only in church, and I don't mean only when you want to yield, you yield all the time. While you're reading his word, don't go to what you want to read. Go to what he's telling you to read. Don't study what you want to learn. Study what he wants you to have revelation of. For those of you that are standing right now, lift up your hands right now. Father, in the precious name of our Lord Jesus Christ, I thank you right now, Lord, that as they stand before you now, we get to the deepest root of the issue within their soul, where their mind, their will, and their emotions reside. And Father, right now in the name of Jesus, we come against that very spirit and we cut it at its root. What has caused them to be bitter, caused them to be angry, and caused them to outburst. Father, we just declare right now peace that surpasses all understanding. That the peace of God be the very barometer, Lord, that keeps them learned. Right there. Let it be a governor in their life, Lord, that says you're not going to respond the same way. The situations in your life will not be the same anymore. Lord, I thank you for them right now in the name of Jesus. I declare deliverance from this very thing. Deception has to go now in Jesus' mighty name. Let the peace that surpasses all understanding be so prevalent in their life. In Jesus' mighty name. And those that are standing said amen. You may be seated. You may be seated. The Bible tells us that we are not to commit adultery, being unfaithful to your spouse in actions or thoughts. Actions or thoughts. Let me say it again. Actions or thoughts. Where does that come from? Oh, your little fantasy mind that says, my wife may be a little overweight or not the way she was when we married, you know, 30 years ago, 15 years ago, 2 years ago, a year ago, 6 months ago. But neither are you. But your fantasy is, I'm going to get that blonde. She's 5'8", 28. I don't know what the... Whatever. With heels. Thin waist. Olive skin. Beautiful. That's my image. You know, you could never pull anything like that. You need to stop that right now. You need to stop that. Well, how about on the flip side? You looking over there at Mr. Fabio. He outdated. He outdated. You looking at the next Channing Tatum? Is that who it is? Magic Mike? Next Magic Mike. Look, you're like, oh, that's my man right there. That ain't your man. That ain't your man. You thinking that he's your man. But when you get back home, you know you got Fluffy with you. Channing Tatum is not who you want. That's who you desire and fantasize. But when you get home, you know you like them Fluffy. You got to get out of that fantasy realm and get back to reality. Because in reality, you're going to miss what God has given you. The Bible says when you find a wife, you find a good thing. And I miss my wife today. And I know the house does. Because when praise and worship is going on, you hear her. Yeah! She get her praise on. With or without you. I said, Lord, I miss hearing my wife. I miss her presence. I said, God, I know what it's like to think that, oh, ooh, some of y'all ain't going to like this. Ooh, I'm going to stay behind this. Got my arm up there, here. Oh, I wonder how it would be if my spouse wasn't here. All my freedom I can do. Everything that I could do on my own. Ain't nobody telling me what to do. You got the Spirit of God telling you what to do. You ain't free like that. We get things so twisted that we're driving down the course of our life walking with God. And he gives us these signs. He goes, you're going towards a dead end. Caution. in the ways of your thinking. Oh, but if I didn't have my spouse with me, I could be further along in the ministry. Shut your mouth. Because what comes out of your mouth or even in your thoughts, watch what will happen. It'll start seeding the atmosphere and you'll have so much discord. It will create division. And then you're wondering, where did this come from? Your fantasy world. Do you know that's what pornography does? It creates a fantasy world so that you no longer live in your reality. Here's the truth. We have, oh Lord, we have couples getting married so fast, don't even know each other. The Lord didn't say nothing, you said. Y'all think that, that God is a matchmaker? Oh, I'm going to wait for my soulmate. How many people have gotten married without their soulmate? So that throws off the balance in the world because someone is married to somebody else's soulmate. You understand that? So that means that somewhere down the line, the one you're with may not be your soulmate in the way that people are thinking. You know who your soulmate is? Christ, the anointed one. That when you make a decision, and he says that when you find a wife, you find a good thing. Meaning that the wife needed to be found. Found. Many times we think that it's the wife that has to hurry up and get to the position because we use Ruth and Boaz. She had to get to the field. She gleaned. It's how we think and perceive things. Your soulmate is the one that you're standing with and going through your trials and tribulations with so that you can become one. How do metals fuse together? Through fire. You can't become one just because we have unity candles at the ceremony. And we do the great thing where we like this one and then we like that one. And then when it's time to get married, we blow out the two side ones and we like the middle one. We're united. We're one. No, your season just begun. The fire just got turned up 7 times hotter. And you're about to be fused as one. You're going to go through some stuff. You're going to go through some trials. You're going to begin to understand what makes him or her mad. You're going to find out that not everything is roses. They do die. There's a season for it to bloom and a season for it to die. You're going to go through some stuff, but you're going to learn one thing about the other. But if you're selfish, you're not going to know how to treat the other. How many of you have been in relationships like that where the other individual has been selfish and it's always about them? Come on, be honest. Be honest. Was it great? Was it a great relationship? Come on, you know you loved it. You stayed with them for a while. Come on, you know, come on. You were with them and said, oh, he'll get better, she'll get better. I'll just pray, I'll fast, I'll put extra offerings in the offering, and I'm going to believe God. And God says, I didn't tell you to get married. He's already been unfaithful. She's been unfaithful. You need to get to stepping because this isn't the one. And if they put their hand on you, let me tell you something. When you put your hand on another woman or another man, for that matter, you have just dishonored God's creation. When you also put a word to try to curse them, you have just dishonored God's child. See, we take things so for granted nowadays. We don't even know how to treat our queens or our kings right. See, we're going down a road that we're not listening to the signs. This culture today is so apt to be wrong. I'm going to start spelling a word and you finish it. S-H. Wait a minute. Y'all went to it right away, didn't you? What about the F-bombs? Yeah? How many of you are hearing that? What about the B-word? You hear that a lot. What about GD? All the time. See, we have gone in a culture nowadays where we've gone so far off course The moral compass is no longer a compass. It's broken. That we're giving up our morals just so that we can feel good. If it feels good, it must be good. Here's what the Bible says. Sin feels good. But where does sin lead you? Death. Death. Die. Out of here. Checked out. Oh, but grace is sufficient. The grace of God covers my sin. Hold up. The Bible says what you sow, you reap. So when you sow your actions into something that you know you shouldn't, not paying attention to the signs, you're going to reap what you sow. And that's what's going to come to you. That's your harvest. Does he see you as a sinner? No, he paid it on the cross. Don't minimize Christ. You've been minimized by sinning. But Christ did it all, once and for all. Once and for all humanity. Some of y'all don't like to hear it. Oh, that means we can sin. No, if that's the case, you really haven't accepted Jesus as your Lord. Because the one that you love, you don't hurt. The one that you love and honor and worship and sacrifice, you don't hurt. You try your hardest not to hurt. That means your thoughts, your actions, and your heart must be in line with God. Too many times we get detoured. We're just trying to go down the path that he's called for us to go on, and it gets hard, doesn't it? How many of you have been driving on a long road to a long, 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 long distance? Do you get sleepy along the way? God didn't tell you to fall asleep while you're on this road of righteousness. He didn't tell you that it was going to be easy. Many times we think that as long as we go down this road and give it our best shot for a minute, he'll take us the rest. You can't compromise your destiny, your purpose, and your mandate. If things ain't working out for you, you might want to check the signs. You missed a turn somewhere, and you got detoured. You weren't paying attention to the direction you were going in. Maybe somebody influenced you, and you made a decision based on what felt good to you. It'll get you in trouble every time. You need to be where God has called you to be. You've got to do what God has called you to do. You have to follow after God with your whole heart. Not half, not a quarter, not even the three quarter. Give him your all. How do we do that, Pastor? By trusting him. See, the enemy comes in to detour you off the path. Why? Because he sees you're going in the direction of God. How many of you know that he uses the ones closest to you? We have to be able to see. Many of us go to a place that God didn't call us to be. That's selfishness, self-ambitions, to do what you want to do that makes you feel good. Every time you do what you want to do, you're basing things and decisions on emotions. And it'll take you off course. It's not good. I mean, you've been off course before. Some are there now. Some are there right now. Been off course. But God wants to get you back on course. We got to stop everything that causes us to be separated from God. Gossip. How many of you know about gossip? Gossip is not what God wants. I said gossip. Jealousy. That's not what God wants for us. When I used to live in, I was working in New Mexico. I'm going to end with this and I'll continue it up on Wednesday. There was a sign that I read. I never read it anywhere else, but when I was in New Mexico traveling to Arizona, we went down the, I would say, scenic route through the mountains. And I would see this sign. It would say steep grade. Well, my mind was like, okay, that means it's going down. But for me in a regular vehicle, that didn't mean much. Then I would see that as you were going down the hill, because it would twist and turn, there would be this one road that would just kind of go off to the side, but it would kind of be built up to go up. And it was the runoff for the big trucks. Well, I wasn't driving a big truck. Thank you, Jesus. I don't know how many of y'all have seen those Scions, TCs, the small ones. Well, I had just purchased that, and I was going back to do renovations on a hotel in New Mexico. So I'm driving. It's a 5-speed, and that's a little sports car. I'm going to check it. I was driving the speed limit. But I'm coming down now, and I see that steep grade. So I'm putting on the brakes, but then I begin to smell the brakes in hot. Brand new car. I said, Lord, this can't be good. So I have to downshift, slow down, instead of using my brakes. But when you're carrying a heavy load, and it's your responsibility to take that load that God has given you from one place to the next, there's some times that you got to slow down, you got to downshift. And take caution to where you're going. Take caution to what the road is ahead of you. And if your brakes fail you, he's always got a runoff for you to protect you from going off the hill, off the side of the mountain. You see, many times we'll hit the brakes, but we don't know how to shift gears. Now, let me help you here. We don't know how to shift gears and shift it to a lower gear, which makes your vehicle not brake, but it slows it down by the way the RPMs in the motor work. And I'm not much of a mechanic, but I do know that if I was to put it in a different gear that is lower than the drive or overdrive, it slows the vehicle down. It gets to the point where you don't have to use your brakes. It keeps you at a certain level. And I realized something, that I saved my brakes to when I really needed to stop, I had the brakes to do it. We're carrying a load right now. And we're carrying the load of the gospel of Jesus Christ. It is light, but we make it burdensome. And he wants us to share his good news. But many of us, we're scared. That's not my calling. I'm not an evangelist. I'm not called to evangelism. You're called to give your testimony. But if the only thing you know to do is to keep getting the things of God but not sharing it, and for some of y'all know who you are in here, maybe it's not here, maybe it's on the podcast. But Facebook is not a way to evangelize. Evangelism is one-on-one. You got to get out of your house. Get your face out of the screen. And get to the people of God. Encourage someone. Speak the good news and tell them what God has done for you. You're carrying a load. And the enemy wants to take you off course. There's a steep grade ahead. And I say this because you've been receiving the things from the Lord. And now you're coming down the mountain. To tell the people of God that are in the valley what he has in store for us. But caution, steep grade ahead. Now, my mind, when I read that sign one time, steep grade. In other words, you're going to be graded on your works. You're going to be graded on the way you do things for God. Steep grade. How many of you know that sometimes when you're going through a test, sometimes it feels like God is grading you very, very tough. When you've been through a season and you just say, God, I wish this one was over so I can get further in my life. You really want it? I know I do. I want to get to my new season. If that's you, I want you to come to the front.